Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Conference Call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Radhika Vallabha Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, 9th Chapter, 16th Verse onwards. Mataji, Prabhuji, join Mataji.
I don't see Prabhuji, Mataji.
Oh, I don't think so. So we can have introduction.
Okay.
Pravin Guru. Is there Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, I'm here.
Hare Krishna, Pravin Guru, Prabhuji, Dandavatana, all the issues, Srila Prabhupada and Guru. Please, introduction, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
His Grace Radhika Vallabha Prabhu is a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He completed his B.Tech and M.Tech from IIT Mumbai in 2001, and then he worked in the IT industry for 2 years. However, his heart got attracted to Krishna consciousness. So since 2003, he has been serving as a brahmachari in the brahmachari ashram of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, Mumbai. He has served in the OT care, DT department. He has served in the education department since 2013. And does youth preaching and congregation preaching as well. Prabhuji is a teacher of Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav, and he has been teaching in Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapeeth, GEV, Wada, Mumbai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Radhika Vallabha Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranama, Vishnu Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now I would like to hand over call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजाता सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितम् तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण. सो थैंक यू एवरी वन फॉर कमिंग फॉर दिस श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास. We are going to discuss from the fifth canto, chapter 9, text number 16 and 17. Text number 16.
Ata vrishala raja pani purusha pashor asrg asavena devim badrakalim yakshyamanas tat abhimantritam asim अति कराल निशितम उपाददे. सो हियर आई रीड द ट्रांसलेशन जस्ट वन सेकंड लेट मी लोकेट द ट्रांसलेशन. At this time, one of the thieves acting as the chief priest was ready to offer the blood of Jadabharat, whom they imagined to be an animal man, to the goddess Kali to drink as a liquor. He therefore took up a very fearsome sword, which was very sharp, and consecrating it by the mantra of Badrakali, raised it to kill Jadabharat. Text 17. Iti tesham vrishalanam rajastama prakritinam dana madaraja utsikta manasam bhagavat kala veerakulam kadarti krityotpatena svairam viharatam himsa viharanam karmati darunam yad brahma bhutasya sakshat brahma rishi sutasya nirvairasya sarva bhuta suhrida sunayam ap ananumatam alambanam tad upalabhya brahma तेजसाति दुर्विषहेण दुर्विषहेण दंदह्यमानेन वपुषा सहसोच्चचाट सैव देवी भद्रकाली. ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. All the rogues and thieves who had made arrangements for the worship of Goddess Kali were low-minded and bound to the mode of passion and ignorance. They were overpowered by the desire to become very rich. Therefore, they had the audacity to disobey the injunctions of the Vedas. So much so that they were prepared to kill Jadabharat, a self-realized soul born in a Brahmana family. due to their envy, these dacoits brought him before the goddess Kali for sacrifice. Such people are always addicted to envious activities, and therefore they dared to try to kill Jadabharat. Jadabharat was the best friend of all living entities. He was no one's enemy, and he was always absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was born of a good Brahmana father, and killing him was forbidden. Even though he might have been an enemy or aggressive person, in any case, there was no reason to kill Jadabharat, and the goddess Kali could not bear this. She could immediately understand that these sinful dacoits were about to kill a great devotee of the Lord. Suddenly, the deity's body burst asunder, and the goddess Kali personally emerged from it in a body burning with an intense and intolerable effulgence. Purport. According to the Vedic injunctions, only an aggressor can be killed. If a person comes with an intent to kill, one can immediately take action and kill in self-defense. It is also stated that one can be killed if he comes to set fire to the home or to pollute or kidnap one's wife. Lord Ramachandra killed the entire family of Ravana because Ravana kidnapped his wife Sita Devi. However, killing is not sanctioned in the Shastras for other purposes. The killing of animals in sacrifice to the demigods, who are expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is sanctioned for those who eat meat. This is a kind of restriction for meat eating. In other words, the slaughter of animals is also restricted by certain rules and regulations in the Vedas. Considering these points, there was no reason to kill Jadabharat, who was born in a respectable, highly exalted Brahmana family. He was a God-realized soul and a well-wisher to all living entities. The Vedas did not at all sanction the killing of Jadabharat by rogues and thieves. Consequently, the goddess Bhadrakali emerged from the deity to give protection to the Lord's devotee. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that due to the Brahman effulgence of such a devotee as Jadabharat, the deity was fractured. Only thieves and rogues in the modes of passion and ignorance, and maddened by material opulence, offer a man in sacrifice before the goddess Kali. This is not sanctioned by the Vedic instructions. Presently, there are many hundreds and thousands of slaughterhouses throughout the world that are maintained by a puffed up population mad for material opulence. Such activities are never supported by the Bhagavata school. Hare Krishna. So, we are reading from the activities of Maharaj Jadabharat, 9th chapter of the 5th canto. So, at this point in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Jadabharat was suddenly captured by a group of dacoits. And this group of dacoits, they had the practice of offering animals and sometimes human beings also as a sacrifice to goddess Kali. and the person whom they were supposed to offer, when that person escaped and they were unable to get the person, they were looking for somebody and they found Jadabharat to be very stout and strong, and they found Jadabharat to be a fit person to offer as a sacrifice to Kali. And they captured Jadabharat, and Jadabharat did not oppose anything. And they brought Jadabharat in front of Kali in order to sacrifice him, in order to kill him. So at that time, the chief priest was about to, he took up the sharp, fearful sword in order to kill Jadabharat. So these low class people, iti tesham vrishalanam, vrishalanam refers to people coming from the low class. Rajastama, their minds were contaminated with passion and ignorance. Rajastama prakriti nam, they were having the natures of rajoguna and tamoguna. And dana mada raja utsikta manasam. Manasam, their minds were contaminated with wealth, desire for wealth. Their minds were contaminated with mother pride and passion. So when they were about to, preparing to commit violence upon Jadabharat, they were about to kill Jadabharat, at that time, Bhagavat Kala Veerakulam Kadarti Krityodpateena Svairam. So Bhagavat Kala Veerakulam. Bhagavat Kala Veerakulam refers to the Lord's avatars, the Lord's amshas in the form of the Devata. So Kali or Durga is actually one of the Devatas in charge of the material world, the amsha of the Lord. So she became angry when she saw that a Paramahamsa devotee of the Lord is about to be killed. So these people, they made the Kali very unhappy. And Kali, understanding that they're sacrificing Bharat, who was without enemy. Himsa viharinam karmati darunam. Jadabharat was without enemy, and he was a friend of, not only was without enemy, on the other hand, he was the friend of all living beings. So Kali understood that this sacrifice is cruel and unauthorized. Even in an emergency situation, sometimes we have the concept of apata dharma, emergency. What is not allowed in the normal course of events, that may be allowed during times of emergency. But killing a personality like Jadabharata, sacrificing him, such a personality who did not consider anybody as an enemy, was a kind friend of all living entities. Sacrificing him, killing him was cruel and unauthorized, even in the emergency situation. So Kali understood, she became angry, and she suddenly burst out from the deity. The deity actually was, she burst out from that particular deity with a flaming body and a blinding light. Krishna Chakotipad says that by the effulgence of Jadabharat, Kali actually broke the form and emerged. The deity Kali broke with the effulgence of Jadabharat. And then Kali will actually, Durga will, she will kill all those dacoits and rogues present over there. So that is the context of the words which you are reading here. So here we see, you see the character of Jadabharat. Jadabharat is such an exalted devotee that in the Bhagavad Gita, we have this verse when Krishna describes the qualities of the devotees. Yasmanna udvijate loko, lokanna udvijate chayaha, ஹர்ஷாமர்ஷ பயோத்வேகை முக்தோய சச்சமே பிரியக. Krishna says that a devotee is one by whom nobody is put into difficulty and one who is not disturbed by anyone and who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, such a person is very dear to me. So in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about the qualities of the devotees or about the demons, Krishna does not mention a single name of a devotee or a demon. He describes the devotees and the demons by their qualities, by their mental psychology. That is actually generally in teaching. Teaching is principle oriented, not personal, person oriented. When a Brahmana teaches a subject, he teaches the subject, he focuses on the subject. He does not again and again talk about a particular personality. That's how the teaching is done. Because when you again and again talk about a particular personality, then it may appear to be like you are actually trying to promote a personality cult. Of course, when we talk about the principle, in order to highlight the principle, how those principles are followed, we also quote the living personalities. We also quote the examples of the personalities who practiced those principles. That will come definitely. But that is, again, that is, when you talk about the personality, that is again for the purpose of emphasizing the certain principles or the qualities or the psychology. So Krishna talks about the qualities of the devotees in the Gita. But in the Bhagavatam, we see the devotees who exemplified those qualities. If we see this verse, Yasman Nodvijate Logo, Lokan Nodvijate Chayaha. How Jadabharat exemplified this quality. Jadabharat is that person that by whom nobody is put into difficulty. He was so exalted when he was forced to carry the palanquin. Sometimes when we are actually compelled to certain activity which we don't like or which is below our dignity, we may feel a little insulted actually. We may feel insulted, of how can he force me to do this? Well, this service was given to me without asking me, was imposed upon me, or it was forced upon me. And sometimes we feel that this service is below my dignity. One of the sign of pride is that the two signs of pride. One sign of pride is that this service can be done only by me. Nobody else can do this. Nobody else can replace me in the performing this service. I am an indispensable person for doing this service. The person thinks like that, that is a sign of pride. Another sign of pride is that this service is below my dignity. Actually, I am exalted. How can they give me this particular service? But the sign of humility is that a person thinks that I am not indispensable. Actually, there are so many people who can do much better than me in this particular service. But still, they have kindly given me an opportunity for my purification. That is the mood. Or a person should think that that no service is below my dignity. When a person thinks, a genuine humble devotee thinks that no service is below my dignity. That even if some humblest of humble background service is only happy to do it. So Jadabharat was such a personality. He was a Paramahamsa. We will see his character at some point. But he was just dragged, he was just forced to carry the palanquin. Paramahamsa, he was like above the, he was a sannyasi, he was above the, even the varnashram actually. It's higher than even a sannyasi. But he was told to do the job of a shudra or a palanquin carrier. But Jadabharata did not oppose. So generally, when you are forced to do something, many times we have the grudge within. Oh, why I am told to do this, or why I am told to do this small service below my dignity, like that. And then even when he was carrying the palanquin, when he saw some ants were moving, he was careful. He didn't want to step on the ant. He didn't want to give some give trouble to the ant. And that is the quality which Krishna is mentioning here. Yasmanna udvijate loko. He by whom nobody is put into difficulty, including an insignificant thing like an ant. And lokanna udvijate chayaha. And who is not disturbed by anyone. You see the how Jadabharata is exhibiting this quality in such an extreme degree. Even when Jadabharata was caught by the, previously Jadabharata was forced by those people to carry the palanquin. Even in that situation, he didn't want to trouble the ant. And here Jadabharata is caught by these dacoits. And they were going to kill him actually. They were going to behead him. But even in that situation, he is not disturbed at all. Harsha, Marsha, Bayodvega, equipoised in happiness and distress, and Baya and Udvega, fear and anxiety. And such a person is very dear to me. So this is something like unimaginable from this one, but Bhagavatam is describing such character of Jadabharat that what Krishna mentions in the Gita, Jadabharat is exemplifying these qualities. And we can see Jadabharat, even in this situation when he is about to be killed, he is exemplifying this item of Sharanagati that Krishna will protect him. Raksha Ishyati Vishwaso Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam Raksha Ishyati Vishwaso Goptrutve Varanam Tata Atma Nikshepa Karpanye Shadvida Sharanagatihi. The six angas of Sharanagati are accepting what is favorable and rejecting what is unfavorable. These first two items are most relevant for all of us. These first two items become the most crucial thing for all of us. The next four items are more on a subtle level, on an emotional level. Raksha Ishyati Vishwaso, having faith that Krishna will protect one. Goptrutve Varanam, accepting the dependence on the Lord. Atma Nikshepa, placing oneself fully on the Lord. And Karpanya, meekness. Other four are actually deep spiritual emotions. But the first two are something which are accepting what is favorable, rejecting what is unfavorable. So Raksha Ishyati Vishwasur, like we can see Jadabharata is exemplifying these qualities. Raksha Ishyati Vishwasur, can say Goptrutve Varanam Tata. He has complete faith in the Lord. Krishna will protect him. And he has accepted complete dependence on the Lord. Atma Nikshepa. He has accepted Lord as a proprietor, placing oneself fully on the Lord. Atma Nikshepa means that to place responsibility for one's maintenance in the object of surrender. That is what it means, Atmanikshepa. So, Jadabharata is actually exemplifying these qualities, these items of Sharanagati. Another point we can see here, when you compare Jadabharat versus the dacoits. The dacoits is explained that these dacoits, they were proud of their wealth. They were hankering, they were proud of their, they were filled with pride. They were hankering for wealth. They were affected by passion and ignorance. And because of their pride and arrogance, they disregarded the injunctions of the Vedas of how to perform sacrifice to the Devatas. They disregarded the injunctions of the Vedas. That is what dacoits' qualities is described. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Even when the Vedas describe about animal sacrifice, there are many rules and regulations are mentioned. But dacoits did not follow those rules because of their pride and arrogance. And if we see the character of Jadabharat, especially in the beginning verses of this same chapter, Jadabharat's father tried to teach Jadabharat different Vedic rules and regulations. How to chant the Gayatri Mantra, how to follow the rules of a Brahmacharya Vrata according to the Vedas, how to keep oneself clean. His father tried to teach all the Vedic rules, guidelines to Jadabharat, but Jadabharat would do exactly the opposite. So you can see the dacoits and Jadabharat, there is one thing in common. Both did not follow the Vedic instructions. Jadabharat did not follow the Vedic instructions taught by his father. Dacoits also did not follow the Vedic guidelines for performing animal sacrifice. Both did not follow the Vedic instructions, but both were in the two ends of the spectrum. Dacoits were completely under the influence of Rajoguna and Tamoguna. Because of pride, they disregarded the Vedic instructions. Whereas Jadabharat, he was on the Avadhuta platform. He was a Paramahamsa Sannyasi. Was like a Paramahamsa, above that. He was on a liberated platform. Again, let us take the Gita verse to actually understand the character of Jadabharat and the dacoits. Krishna explains in the Gita about the Sita Prajna, the second chapter. Yadate moha kalilam buddhir vyati tarishyati tada gantasi nirvedam shrotavyasya shrutasya cha. So when your intelligence has completely renounced that dense darkness of ignorance, one becomes indifferent to all that has been heard and all that will be heard concerning the fruits of action. So Krishna says that when a person's intelligence completely gives up the dense forest of ignorance, and a person completely becomes indifferent to the craving for the fruitive results. And at such a person becomes indifferent to all the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, which promise different results by performing the different sacrifices. So Jadabharat is in this platform, what Krishna describes as the Sita Prajna in the Bhagavad Gita 2.52. Jadabharat exemplifies this verse. That is why Jadabharat did not actually, he did not follow any of the Vedic injunctions. You cannot imitate, it is on one end of the spectrum actually. On the other hand, the Dacoits, they have the demonic psychology. Krishna says in the Gita, Ahankaram Balam Darpam Kamam Krodam Cha Samshita Mamatma Paradeheshu Pradvishantu Abhyasuyakaha. The 16th chapter. The demoniac people, they are surrendered to their ego. And they are surrendered to strength, arrogance, lust and anger. And they hate me situated in their own and others' bodies and find fault in the qualities of the Vedas and also in me. So these demoniac people, they disrespect the Vedas which describe me. And they ascribe faults to the qualities of the Vedas and to myself by dishonest logic. And because of their false ego tells them, oh, I alone do everything independently. I am the doer. And by taking shelter of the strength, they think, I alone am the victor. By taking shelter of arrogance, they say, there is nobody equal to me. By taking shelter of lust, they say, my desires are greater than all others combined. And then by taking shelter of anger, they think, I will kill my enemy. So these Dacoits were having this psychology, what is described in the 16th chapter. Just imagine, like, where is the Jadabharat and where are these Dacoits? It's like, so you say, the condensed form of purity is coming in contact with the condensed form of impurity. The condensed form of purity, that is Jadabharat, has come in contact with the condensed form of impurity in the form of the Dacoits. And so, therefore, this demonic psychology, yaha shastra vidhim utsrujya vartate kamakaratah nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukam na paramgatim. One who gives up the rules of scripture and acts according to his own whim does not attain purification, peace or liberation. So these Dacoits, okay, even if they have to give some animal sacrifice, they have to follow the rules and regulations. They are actually offering a human being as a sacrifice. Tasmat shastram pramanante karya karya vyavastitav nyatva shastra vidanuktam karma kartum iharasi. The scripture is the authority for determining what to do and what not to do. So understanding what is stated in the scripture, you should perform actions in this world. So therefore, that's one of the major theme in Prabhupada's purport, that like when it comes to on a practical level, how do we actually, in the case of Jadabharat, he was about to be killed, but he didn't put even a single effort to actually protect himself. So definitely we cannot imitate Jadabharat. When somebody tries to attack, aggressor should be killed. Prabhupada writes in the purport about that aggressor should be killed. Like, for example, if you take the example of Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti, she says in the Bhagavatam, the prayer, that Vipadat santuta tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yasyat apunar bhava darshanam. Let me get more and more calamities, because when I get more and more calamities, I can remember Krishna more intensely. And remembering Krishna means there is no more birth and death. So Queen Kunti, in one sense, she said, let me get more and more difficulties. This is also something we can't even imagine, offering such prayer. But the same Queen Kunti, when Krishna came as a Shanti Dut to Hastinapur, and Krishna came to meet Queen Kunti, Kunti told Krishna, to give a message to Yudhishthir that to fight the war with great courage, because Kunti knew the nature of Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir is inclined towards non-violence and peace and not fighting. So Kunti gives instruction to Yudhishthir through Krishna that Yudhishthir should not become a victim of non-violence. And Kunti tells a story of a widow, Vidula. So there's a story of Vidula. Once in a village, there was a woman called as Vidula. And she was a Kshatrani and a widow. Her husband was killed in a battle. So her son gets defeated in the battle and returns home. So while returning, the son is thinking that, oh, my mother will shower upon me a lot of affection and protect me, knowing that I have come alive from the battle. And then when he comes to meet his mother, the mother says, what are you doing actually? This doesn't befit you. If you want to stay here like a eunuch, it would have been better that you are not even born from my womb. You should stand up again and fight with great valor. If a piece of wood produces a fire for a few moments, that is better. As a Kshatriya, by showing valor, if you get killed in the battlefield, that is better instead of remaining as a coward. You should be prepared to die a martyr's death. So a brave person dies only once, but a coward dies at every moment of their lives. Seeing you in such a fearful condition, I think that you have not even taken birth from my womb. And then the son says to Vidula that, oh mother, why are you so hard-hearted? You are sending me to the battlefield. What will happen if I die? What happens? What happiness will you get if I die? Neither will you be able to put on your jewelry, nor will you be able to enjoy any happiness. How can you even think like this? You should think about my well-being. Then the mother replies, it is very nice that you feel that I should be thinking about your well-being. I am indeed thinking about your well-being. You must understand what is beneficial for you and you must go to the battlefield. So one who shows compassion in a wrong way or to the wrong person, one who is a coward and one who is lethargic, such a person never makes progress. So definitely go to the battlefield. Even if you are killed in the battlefield, it will be befitting our family tradition. So Kunti tells Krishna to tell this story to Yudhishthir. So you can see Kunti Maharani, many times the parents, they have a, because of their overprotective nature, they don't allow the children to grow. That way, unconsciously, the parents become the enemy of the children's growth. They don't allow the children to take some risk. Risk is in different field, different risk. Yes, if somebody is a warrior, then there's a risk in that field. But every other field, sometimes overprotective nature, one should neither neglect the children at the same time also not get involved in overprotection. So we can see Kunti as a mother is telling Yudhishthir to fight bravely. So it's not that so Jadabharat is a Paramahamsa devotee. He was in a Brahmana also. Like he did not even make an attempt to protect himself. But of course, when we are aggressors are attacking us, aggressors are trying to cheat us, we have to actually deal with them. We have to kill them. And there is a beautiful verse in the Bhartrihari's Niti Shataka. Bhartrihari talks about how to deal with the different kinds of people in this world. Dakshinyam swajane, to our own relatives, to our own family members, we have to be kind towards them, or we should be frank, we should be like a dakshinyam, saralata, we should be simple towards them. We have to be kind towards them, with our own relatives. Daya parijane, to the servants or those who are inferior, we have to show compassion. Shatyam sada durjane, to the wicked or crooked people, you have to be diplomatic towards them. Shatyam. You have to be diplomatic towards them. Preetihi sadhu jane, to the sadhu purushas, love them, deal with them with affection. Nayo nripajane, towards the kings, one should be righteous and dutiful. And vidvajane charjavam, towards the scholars, one should be frank and unpretentious. Arjava means unpretentious, nishkapatata. Shauryam shatrujane, to the enemies, one should deal with them bravely. Shauryam, with the boldness, with the bravely, valorous towards the enemies. Kshama gurujane, in the presence of the superiors, gurus, the superiors, we should exhibit patience towards them. Patiently, we should serve them. Kanta jane drishtata, towards one's lover, towards one's wife or lover, one should deal with them confidently. We should be bold and confident towards them. So, ye chaivam purusha kalasu kushalas teshveva lokastitihi. So, that person who has these kinds of dealings with the various peoples in this world, all this list of people, so the behavior of such people is actually holding this world. Kalasu kushalas teshu teshu eva lokastitihi. The world is held by those people who have the above kinds of dealings with the various kinds of people in this world. So, yeah, these are practical guidelines for how to deal with the different people in this world. Jadabharat's example is something, because he's a Paramahamsa. These dacoits are about to kill him, but he didn't even put an effort to protect himself. It's like, it's completely beyond the bodily platform. So we have to understand this, quality of Jadabharat. So Jadabharat, if you see the quality of Jadabharat versus Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj versus Jadabharat. Bharat Maharaj performed all the different karmakandas activities, karmakanda sacrifices. Agnishtoma Yajna, Soma Yajna, Darsha Purnamasa Yajna. He performed all these yajnas. But Jadabharat would do exactly opposite. When his father would try to teach him some different guidelines, rules and regulations. But actually, both Jadabharat and Bharat Maharaj, the same personality, both were on the platform of pure devotion. Bharat Maharaj was performing the different karmakanda sacrifices, but Jadabharat was completely aloof. But both were on the platform of pure devotion. The Baldev Vidya Bhushan, in his Bhagavad Gita purport, he talks about three types of devotees. Sanishta Bhakta, Parinishta Bhakta, and nirapeksha bhakta. Tanishta bhakta means those people who worship Krishna mainly by performing their varnashram duties. They worship Krishna by performing varnashram duties by following the principle of Nishkama Karma Yoga. And these Tanishta bhaktas, when they perform Nishkama Karma Yoga, they will become purified. They will come to the platform of Jnana Yoga, and then they will further advance to Dhyana Yoga, and then they will take up to Bhakti Yoga. So the Sanishta Bhaktas gradually progress from Nishkama Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga to Dhyana Yoga to Bhakti Yoga. Parinishtita Bhaktas, they worship Krishna mainly by performing the 9 Angas of Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. These 9 angas of bhakti. But they also perform their varnashram duties because they are a part of the society. As being part of the society, they dutifully perform their varnashram duties in order to set example for their family and the society around them. They don't give up the varnashram duty. That is, Bharat Maharaj, he performed, as a king, he performed the different karmakanda sacrifices in order to show to the people how they can fulfill their material desires by following the Vedic guidelines, by following the Vedic sacrifices. He himself was not interested in those karmakanda sacrifices. He himself did not have faith in them because his faith was mainly in the Bhakti Yoga. But he was teaching the common people. That is the Parinishta Bhakta. Parinishtita Bhakta, they worship Krishna mainly by the 9 items of bhakti, but they also perform their varnashram duties in order to set example for the common people. They are responsible. And Nirapeksha Bhakta, the third category, Nirapeksha Bhakta, are those people who have nothing to do with the varnashram. They are 24 hours day engaged in some of the items of bhakti. 24 hours a day, they are either engaged in hearing or chanting or remembering, like that. They have nothing to do with varnashram. So Jada Bharat is an example of a nirapeksha bhakta. Bharat Maharaj is an example of a parinishtita bhakta. Madhavendra Puri is an example of a nirapeksha bhakta. Madhavendra Puri said that, I say goodbye to the Sandhya Vandanam prayers. I say goodbye to the Shraddha rituals. Because my mind has developed such intense attraction to Krishna, I no longer want to perform these rituals of Shraddha, etc. That means, previously he was playing the role of a Parinishtita Bhakta, but at a certain point, he said, I'm just done with these things. My mind is intensely attracted to Krishna. So that is the Nirapeksha Bhakta. But one should not make a system out of that. That is the Madhavendra Puri's feelings. Let me say goodbye to all these Vedic rituals. But you cannot make a system out of those feelings. Sometimes a great devotee or somebody, they may have a on their subjective platform, on their advanced platform, because of their advanced spiritual emotions, they say, I don't want to perform any of these duties and rituals, etc. So you cannot make a system out of those feelings. Because for the common people, they need to follow the different samskaras and different duties for their evolution in their life. So Jada Bharat thing cannot be made into Jada Bharat's behavior cannot be made into a system, but Bharat Maharaj's behavior can be made into a system because that is meant for the common people. So that's the difference between Parinishtita Bhakta and Nirapeksha Bhakta. Sukadeva Goswami was a Nirapeksha Bhakta. He didn't even cover his bodies. He couldn't even distinguish between a male and a female. That is how advanced he was. He was a Nirapeksha Bhakta. But Vyasadeva was following after Shukadeva Goswami. By seeing Vyasadeva, the women covered their bodies. Vyasadeva was a Parinishtita Bhakta. So, but Parinishtita Bhakta is also a pure devotee. But because he is playing an important role as part of the society, he performs his roles according to the Varna and Ashram responsibly in order to show to the common people. And this is another thing about Bharat Maharaj versus Jada Bharat. And another point we can see in this verse, how the Durga couldn't tolerate the dacoits are trying to kill Jada Bharat and Durga comes to save Jada Bharat. So this is an instance which shows that how the devatas want to, they have so much respect and love for the devotees of Krishna. The Durga comes to save Jada Bharat. As Skanda Puran says that devotees whose tongues are decorated always with the prayers to Lord Krishna, they are given great respect by the great saintly person and sages, and such devotees are actually worshipable by the devatas. So devatas start worshipping such a devotee. Even when Kubera also became so pleased with Dhruva Maharaj, Kubera told Dhruva Maharaj that please ask a benediction without any hesitation. Whatever benediction you can ask, I will give you any benediction you want. Ask without any hesitation. And the devatas, they also actually, they have great respect for the devotees of the Lord. Again, the fifth canto later, we will see the devatas offer these prayers. Aho amisham kimakari shobanam prasanna yesham svidutasvayam hari yair janma labdam rishubharatajire mukunda seva upayikam spruhakina. The devatas are saying that what pious activities did the residents of the earth perform? Because of that, they attained a birth suitable for service to Lord Mukunda in the Bharat Varsha. So we are also aspiring to take birth in Bharat Varsha. And what is the use of performing difficult sacrifices, austerity and charity on earth, or attaining the transient residence in heaven? What is the use of all this? Where there is no remembrance of the Lord's lotus feet. Because in the heavenly planet, there is such an excessive enjoyment. Because of the excessive enjoyment, the remembrance of the Lord's lotus feet is carried away by the excessive enjoyment. When there is an excessive suffering and excessive enjoyment, people forget about God only. So therefore, the Bharat Varsha is the most suitable place because there is a mixture of happiness and distress. So devatas, they glorify Bharat Varsha, they glorify the devotees. And devatas, they want to protect the devotees. And that is what we see in this particular verse. And another thing we can see, Bharat Maharaj was like highly elevated. At the same time, we can see his different types of dealings with the different people. So these, Jada Bharat's brothers and neighbors, they were all in the Rajoguna. And they were materialists filled with Rajoguna. And Jada Bharat did not preach to them. But rather Jada Bharat, he just allowed them to see his divine form for a considerably long period of time. He did not speak to them. He has allowed them to see his divine form for a long period of time. And these dacoits were in tamoguna and they were deeply attached to sinful activities and they had even beaten Jadabharat. But Jadabharat also gave mercy to these dacoits and arranged for the liberation of the dacoits in the next life. Jadabharat allowed these dacoits to see himself for some time, for a short time. So by that, he gave them some benefit also. Vaishnavera Darshane Pavitra Kori. Simply by taking darshan of the sadhu, a person becomes purified. So Jadabharat allowed these dacoits to see him. They were in tamoguna, therefore he gave his association for a short time. But you will see later, Jadabharat is dealing with Maharaj Rahuguna. In the case of Maharaj Rahuguna, because he was in Sattvaguna, that although Rahuguna made Jadabharat carry the palanquin by the influence of his Rajoguna, but still, the king was also situated in Sattvaguna. Jadabharat revealed bhakti and jnana to the king. He actually spoke to them. So similarly, sometimes when we are preaching, there are people, you may encounter people in different modes, Sattvaguna, Rajoguna, Tamoguna. Those who are in Rajoguna and Tamoguna, we try to speak to them, then it will not actually register in their minds only. We have to give them lot of prasadam and lot of kirtan. And then by slowly doing these things repeatedly, then when they come to Sattvaguna, then we can give more philosophy to them. And those who are in Sattvaguna, we can actually speak some philosophy. We can teach about bhakti and jnana. Other people, we can give more mass prasadam distribution, mass kirtan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went on a South Indian tour, like to the common people, he just gave holy name, kirtan. And to the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to his he discussed philosophy with Saruvam Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati. And he discussed the deepest aspects of Rasa Tattva with Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami. In this way, we can see Jadabharat also had discrimination. From one point of view, Jadabharat was equal in happiness and distress. There is equanimity is there. Even when he is about to be killed, he did not protest himself. There was such an equanimity. Harsha, Marsha, Bayodvage. But also another level, we see Jadabharat also discriminated in his dealings with the different people. Those who are in Sattvaguna, Rajoguna and Tamoguna. And Jadabharat's character also shows that how the Vaishnava compassion is something very deep. Even when that person is in difficulty, but still a Vaishnava shows compassion for others. Even when Jadabharat was forced to carry the palanquin, he wanted to show compassion to the hands. This way we can see the various character of Jadabharat. Summarize what we discussed today. We discussed that how the qualities of Krishna described by the qualities of a devotee described by Krishna in the 12th chapter of Gita is exhibited by Jadabharat. Yasman no udvijate logo lokanna udvijate chayaha. And then we also discussed Jadabharat in the light of the different angas of Sharanagati. And we discussed both Jadabharat and dacoits. Both of them actually did not follow the Vedic injunctions, but both were in the different ends of the spectrum. Both were completely on the different extremes. In that regard also we discussed from the Gita verses. And also we discussed the concept of Parinishtita Bhakta and Nirapeksha Bhakta. Bharat Maharaj was a Parinishta Bhakta, Jadabharat was a Nirapeksha Bhakta. And also discussed that we cannot imitate the character of Jadabharat. On a practical level, definitely we cannot allow ourselves to be killed or exploited. When Queen Kunti's instruction to Yudhishthira, how Queen Kunti tells Yudhishthira to fight boldly. Saga. So, these are some points I wanted to share. Anybody has any questions or comments?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Such an amazing class and enlightening class. Prabhuji, I have one question. When Bharat Maharaj's life, we remember always deer and we don't have association. He got the deer life, Prabhuji. So again, Jadabharata life, he don't have association, devotees association, but he got mukti and all while left the body. How it's possible, Prabhuji? Because of remembrance of previous life, how he didn't attract anything, he didn't follow the, his father's instruction and all.
See, Jadabharat, because he was born in a family of the Brahmanas, but his family members were not devotees per se. They were all pious Brahmanas. So therefore, because Jadabharat has remembrance of his past two lives, so he was very cautious of Maya and he was conscious of Krishna. So in that, he was very, very careful that he will not again fall victim to Maya. So therefore, in that way, he was associating with his devotees. He was associating with the Guru by remembering the Guru's instructions, by remembering how he because of neglect, how he fell down in the previous life, he had to take the form of a deer. So, yeah, he definitely wanted to, because the lesson which he learned, that Bharat Maharaj, the reason why he fell down from the position of Bharat Maharaj to the deer, one of the reasons Prabhupada says is that because Bharat Maharaj did not consult the his spiritual master, therefore he fell from his position. So Jadabharat, as a Jadabharat, he learned that lesson. Oh, I had to become the deer. If only I had consulted some devotees, if I had made myself available to some devotees, they would have warned me. He learned that lesson. Therefore, the lesson which he learned about the importance of association of devotees, that lesson which he learned comes very prominently in the conclusion of his teachings to Maharaj Rahuguna. Rahugunaita tapasana yati nache jaya nirvapanat grihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suryair vina makatpadarajobhishekam. He tells Maharaj Rahuguna, one cannot actually attain perfection simply by performing austerity or by taking the vows of sannyas, etc. Only by getting the dust of the lotus feet of devotees, one can actually achieve perfection. So the lesson which he learnt, that also comes very profoundly in his teachings to Rahuguna. He was associating with the devotees in his mind. And if there are physical association, he would have definitely associated with them. Maybe he didn't have that. But just like Prabhupada, he went left Vrindavan, he went to the west. One may say, oh, he left the association of devotees. But Prabhupada said that not even as for a single moment, I was never separated from my spiritual master. That means he was constantly associating with the Guru by remembering the instruction. So Jadabharat was also like that.
Thank you so much, Prabhupada, for beautiful answer. Prabhuji, do you have time for questions, Prabhuji?
Few questions.
Dear devotees, if anybody have any questions or realizations, please raise your hand so you can unmute Prabhuji.
Thank you. Prabhuji, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Okay, Prabhuji, I want to learn Gita, but I don't know anything about Bhagavatam. So what should I do at this point? Should I learn the Gita first and then the Bhagavatam?
Yeah, it will be better to learn Gita first and then can attend the Bhagavatam classes. But first one should learn the Gita properly. Gita is a graduate study. Bhagavatam is a postgraduate study. Definitely attend the Bhagavatam classes, but first you can also learn Gita systematically.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes,
can I go ahead? Yeah, thank you. Yes. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the very nice class.
Yes,
very
sir.
Nice point. Prabhuji, one striking point was for me that in Bhagavad Gita, the qualities are defined, right? And then the principles, right? And then those qualities are applied or are attached to a devotee, right, later. So that one, Prabhu. So, but if you see in third chapter, right, Prabhu, we see like Janak Maharaj being directly mentioned.
Yeah, basically that is the only name Krishna mentions in the Gita.
Yes, Prabhu. Yes, yes.
Like he could have, for example, Janak Maharaj is the only name he mentions, but most of the time, when Krishna talks about the symptoms of a person who has transcended the three modes, he has mentioned the symptoms, he doesn't mention any personalities. The qualities of the devotees, he doesn't mention a single name. Sita Prajna also, he doesn't mention any name. He just mentions the how does he Sita Prajna sit, walk, etc. So, Gita is more principle oriented. In the demons also, the Krishna killed so many demons. Practically all those demonic psychology can be found in the different demons. Sishupal, Jarasandha, Kamsa, Dantavakra, all these. So Krishna could have mentioned the names of the demons, but he didn't mention a single name because he mainly wanted to talk about the demonic psychology. But generally teaching, when we keep actually pointing out the names all the time, then it may appear to be more person-oriented. Teaching is a principle-oriented. Principle becomes the focus. So to highlight the principle, to better understand the principle, we also refer the persons. But essentially, it is principle-oriented. So Krishna mentions about the Nishkama Karma Yoga principle, but in reference to that, he mentioned the name of Janaka. At many other places, whether the Sita Prajna in the second chapter, on the 14th chapter, or the 12th chapter, he doesn't mention the names. The 16th chapter, the demons also, he doesn't mention the names.
Yeah. Okay, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhu, one other just follow-up. Is this because of this reason the Vedas are not directly talking sometimes about a particular person? And they mention, you know, lot of prayers or characteristics or something like that, Prabhu?
Yeah, Vedas, they adopt a Parokshavada, where Vedas actually teach a living entity indirectly. And the ultimate goal is actually to bring a person close to the Lord. But they teach indirectly because most people they want to fulfill material desires. And Vedas actually connect with them by giving different processes how to fulfill those desires. And in that way, Vedas are trying to gradually elevate people. That is the mood of the Vedas.
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. Thank you for the nice class, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Anybody have any other questions? if no one has any further questions, we can end the call here.
Thank you, Shapambi. It's a very nice class.
It's
very nice. Nicely answered all the questions. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I'd like to hear you more. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Shri Prabhuji, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. And thank you so much for your association and time. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you and we look forward to your association again and again in the future. Let's pay our obeisance to Prabhuji and all Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpa
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Once again, thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Radha Mata.